All right, welcome back to WTK's Playground. I am Jeff Childs along with Jay-Z and Tony O, sort of taking you through and letting you absorb and savor a 78-0 win that set a lot of Michigan records. And offensively with 78 points, Tony, yes, a lot of records were broken. A lot of Rutgers fans, all 12 of them, their hearts were crushed from the Michigan Wolverines on Saturday in Piscataway. Michigan 6-0 now and just on a roll as they head into a bye week. This could have been considered a bye, you think?
Just about.
Yeah. Michigan just on a roll right now as they head into their bye week. And then, of course, Illinois the week after for homecoming. And we saw a lot of names in this game that were not typical. A lot of the second, third, fourth string guys, walk-on guys. Bobby Henderson scored a touchdown. We talked about Josh Metellus, the safety, leading Michigan in tackles, six solo tackles. But, Tony, Michigan's offense was just so assertive, I would say, would be a word in this game. Nine rushing touchdowns, setting a Michigan record. The last time Michigan did this, and if you can believe it, there was a last time, they tied for the most in Michigan history, nine touchdowns on the ground, and last time, 1939 against Chicago.
That goes back a long way.
Long way indeed. Michigan's second largest margin of victory since 1920 with a 78 points. Their largest margin of victory in Big Ten history for any conference game. And if Rutgers wants to keep playing football, I would commend them if they're going to show their face after a beatdown of this magnitude. 78-0 for the Wolverines over Rutgers. And again, we saw a lot of people that we don't normally see in a game like this. We had some encouraging signs, but I think more than the stats, Tony, more than the box score, the encouraging thing about this, Michigan got players involved in this football game that they will have an impact in some way, shape, or form down the road, and that game experience is critical. We saw Kakoa Crawford, Dylan Crawford come in on a jet sweep. John O'Korn came in at quarterback after Michigan had a comfortable lead. Shane Morris, we saw in at the quarterback spot, get in there as well. Tyree Cannell was in this game. Keith Washington, Joe Hewlett, Bobby Henderson, the Harvard grad playing fullback. I'm sure we all know his story. Parents were Michigan fans. Worked on Wall Street, had to deal with an illness, and then he got in this game and rumbled in for his first career touchdown. So what were your impressions on the way Michigan was able to rotate these guys? And I guess not really the way, but what that could mean for the season going forward, seeing all these guys get playing time.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I mean, I think anytime, you know, these guys who maybe haven't gotten so much playing time in the other games, they must be excited to finally get a chance to play in a Big Ten game. So I think that was kind of cool seeing them to be able to, you know, really want to compete and really want to, you know, keep the score, you know, the shutout going and the score as impressive as it was. But then the other thing, yeah, I mean, in terms of gaining experience, I think for the future games coming up, if we have to deal with injuries per se, or next season when we might lose a lot, when we are going to lose a lot of our talent and a lot of our starting players, you know, this is great experience for them to, you know, so that next year when their number gets called, they'll be able to, you know, make a difference right away.
That's right, Tony O. And that's another point, just beyond the experience factor and the depth that this will build for Michigan. Michigan, finally, for the first time in about 3 weeks, able to emerge from a game without an injury. Obviously, Jeremy Clark, the corner, went down a couple of weeks ago. He's out for the year. Michigan lost their very promising left tackle, Grant Newsom, to a very horrific knee injury, you might say, last week. And this game started, and Michigan kind of had a couple of rough series. There were Wilton Spade again, some of those middle-of-the-road throws that he's had some issues with, some overthrows, some underthrows. And then you couple that with the apparent injury to Juwan Bushel-Beatty. And I got to tell you, I had a moment there where my heart was in my throat because Michigan's had a rough time of it the last couple of weeks with injuries, and luckily Juwan Bushel-Beatty did come back in the game of left tackle, so that is relief for Michigan fans. But again, coming out of a game like this where the score is just, Michigan was at another stratosphere in this game, to leave the game and to avoid an injury for a third week in a row is crucial.
Yeah, especially heading into a bye week, you know, with Michigan State, you know, sort of in the vicinity coming up.
And Michigan State reeling, too. They lose again yesterday to BYU. So Michigan State will always bring their best, and Michigan wants to be at full strength for that game.
Yeah, absolutely. But, yeah, with the bye week coming up, it's so that now they'll have, you know, 4 weeks consecutively where, you know, injuries will they'll have sort of been getting better. And, yes, so that was, yeah, good to see.
Wilton Spate, he's shown that he can throw the short pass, complete the screen play, had a couple of long throws down the field that was very encouraging. And we know the caveat, it's Rutgers. We can pump the brakes a little bit on Wilton Spate becoming, the next Michigan gunslinger. But he had a couple of throws that were very encouraging to me. The Amara Darbo 45-yard touchdown pass down the field, or the 45-yard deep throw down the field. J.U. Chesson, as we talked about earlier, nice adjustment on the Rutgers safety to haul in a 30-yard pass. And really, that's all Wilton Spate had to do on the day. And if you have something you're upset about in this game, well, shame on you, because there's nothing really to be upset about. Like, literally, this is... I've watched Michigan football for a long time, and especially on offense, where Michigan fans can be very critical. I think John Bacon said it. Michigan fans are not football fans. They're more like opera critics. They will find some play, some octave in the tenor's voice in the opera that they're upset about that wasn't on par, and those expectations go back to Fielding Yost. This is a game where Michigan did score more than a point a minute, and Fielding Yost had to be happy because... Michigan got back to running the ball. Fielding Yost never really passed until 1905, 1906. But Wilton Spate threw for 100 yards. He did not have to pass in that game. And he really got a rest later on in this game. And are there some concerns, Tony? Yeah, sure. There were a couple of balls that were underthrown that he really had to make. And he, again, short throw on a couple of those. He underthrew a few of them. But... at the end of the day, this was still a game where Michigan didn't need him to do a lot, and despite a couple of the misses on short passes and plays where you said, "Oh, Wilton, you know, you got to complete this," like it didn't matter because the Michigan run game was so incredibly just stomped Rutgers that it was a moot point. 56 total carries for 11 ball carries, 481 yards. The running backs, I'll get into my thoughts on Chris Evans in a bit, but Caron Higdon, again, is showing more and more to me. Ty Isaac, every week getting better. What did you see in the running game that you liked in this romp?
I just loved seeing so many guys in there, so many guys getting the carries. Yeah, we saw Chris Evans had 11 carries, Caron Higdon 13, Ty Isaac 12. I thought Ty Isaac looked great in this game. You know, he had two touchdowns, 93 net yards. I thought that was a great game for him. But about Wilton Spate, I mean, the other thing that was kind of we need to consider is the fact that the weather was really quite lousy in this game for passing. I mean, it was wet. I think it was at least somewhat windy, obviously with the hurricane affecting it. So, you know, that was he was dealing with some conditions there, too.
Yeah, and the story of this game is, Michigan didn't need to throw the ball, and thankfully the conditions were such that it didn't really matter because Michigan was so forceful on the ground and so methodical in how they just wore Rutgers down running the football. And that's really where it was, like the running game for both teams, because Michigan ends up with just an eye-popping 481 yards on the ground, and Rutgers... well, they had 34 yards on the ground, and I think it might have been considered a win for them if they'd converted a third down, which they didn't do. They got the two first downs, but the Michigan running game absolutely put on a clinic, the likes of which we haven't seen in Ann Arbor in a very long time. The 481 yards on the ground included the 9 touchdowns. One rushing touchdown in each game for Michigan. 6 different players scored a touchdown for Michigan. Khalid Hill had 3. Chesson, Caron Higdon, Jabril Peppers had 2. Ty Isaac, Bobby Henderson. So the variety, and Michigan was able to spread the ball around. Normally you have a one featured back that, you know, wants the ball all the time, but Michigan has never been about that. They've been about the team. They've been about sharing, seeing a lot of guys get carries, and I can't imagine you had one running back in this game that was upset at the PT or the touches in this game. Chris Evans, I thought, just had absolutely a breakout game. He ran in every style, every fashion, between the tackles, getting the outside. I mean, the holes were there. The offensive line on the ground, Kalis and Magnuson and the whole group, dominant again. And once Evans hit a hole, he burst through that hole like I have not seen, maybe once in the Hawaii game, but his burst up the middle was very impressive.
Yeah, I mean, averaging 14 yards a carry, that is awesome. The other thing that was awesome about the running game was seeing Jabril Peppers line up in the quarterback and take the ball himself.
Wildcat again, right?
And it worked. It worked perfectly. I mean, it was a great setup for him.
All right, well, we are talking to you about Michigan 78-0 destruction. And again, what is it, Tony? The Rutgers are the Knights. If you gave an analogy to this game, Michigan stormed the castle. They stole the princess. They disemboweled whatever remained of Rutgers, and they tarred and feathered the peasants in whatever village Rutgers castle in. I mean, it was a complete and utter destruction of the Scarlet Knights. And we are with you on the playground this morning on Sports Talk 1050 WTK. When we come back, we will talk more of the eye-popping stats in this game. Stay with us here. You're listening to the Playground on Sports Talk 1050 WTK.